Welcome in, 7:07, and now a word from Katie about RC Country Hobbies.
It's 7:07 and 11 seconds, okay. Dave. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
Our very own selfish country hobbies loving lady.
It's Katie Christensen, everybody. Welcome in. It's The Drive. Dave, Katie,
I do have a new
Dave.
End table that I'm going to start to refinish.
Really now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
found
exciting.
It at a thrift store. Very excited.
Hey, what would you refinish if you could? 339-1140.
Yeah, I know.
We will be in Phoenix, Arizona next week. Not Katie, but Nathan and myself.
Indeed.
Covering spring training for you. We'll be down at the home of the A's and save that story.
Fonzie's favorite team.
Yes. Fonzie's favorite team, the A's. We'll be doing the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we will also be over in Glendale on Wednesday should any breaking news at the NFL meetings happen with your Oakland Raiders as well. So stay tuned for all of that next week. Thanks, as always, to Jiffy Lube. 7:30, Jerry Reynolds will join us. 8 o'clock, we unveil our 80s ballad brackets. Right now, though, top story at 7 a.m. You've probably heard about this, and if not, get ready to cringe. South African Premier League soccer player Mohamed. I know it's not anus, but that's kind of how it's spelled, A-N-A-S. It's probably Anas.
A-N-A-S.
I honestly hadn't heard it pronounced.
I had a Spanish teacher in college named Anais. A-N-A-I-S.
Isn't that a star anise? That's a spice, right?
Is it?
Yeah, star anise. Yeah, it's brown. It looks like a star.
Far out.
There's no pun there. That's really true. Google it. Mohamed Anas. Let's just call him that because that's not the story. He had just been awarded the Man of the Match title when he decided to talk on TV when
man
he was
man of
interviewed.
The match.
Yeah, and
I love soccer.
Well,
man of the match,
like a good guy, he thanked.
He's the man, all right.
You know, people, and it went a little bit awry when he thanked one too many people.
Yes, you do. And my wife, definitely my wife.
My wife, I love you so much.
Definitely my wife, I love her.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
You
don't need the hot take part. You just need the gun.
That's so bad. Oh my gosh. Yeah, can we play that again, please?
Oh my goodness.
Definitely. Definitely my wife.
How do you get out of that one?
You don't.
Could you maybe claim, like, cause it sounded like he had an accent. Maybe English, not the first language. Maybe he goes home and says, you know, you're my wife and my girlfriend. Like,
well,
you're
right. Maybe they just got married or something, and I don't know.
Yes.
Or maybe he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's a professional athlete. Odds are.
We're going to stereotype.
Yes.
There's plenty. Yes. Yeah, I don't think it's a professional athlete thing. I think it's a human thing.
I think it's an access thing, but that's a totally different story.
Access.
You know, what is cheating? Access and an opportunity type of thing, but. Listen, if we're talking pro athletes, not all, of course, and professional athlete, if you're listening right now, not you, other people.
Yeah, well, when I was playing, I definitely had...
You had side pieces?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah,
geez.
Totally. There are so many groupies in the WNBA. So it really was. It was about access and opportunity,
right.
Dave. You know what? When men are throwing themselves at you all the time, it's really hard to say no.
I feel like someone ought to corner that market.
The WNBA
groupie. Right?
I love it.
I'm surprised that you're not hanging out at WNBA games, Nate.
Someone's at the bar at 10:30 at night after a tough game in their tattered Phoenix Mercury jersey.
Man.
Sliding the hotel key over at Katie here.
Oh, my God.
What's she going to do? Let's move on.
Why?
All right. Major League Baseball. It's about to start, kids. We have our annual list of the top 10 events or foods offered at baseball stadiums. Get ready and make sure you hit a treadmill if you eat any of these. Number 10. Churro dessert. Is it poutine? Poutine.
I don't know.
I think it's poutine.
I know what you're talking about.
Well,
yeah.
I know it's Boudin is the boudin.
I think it's poutine.
Okay. Poontang, whatever it is. The Toronto Blue Jays are offering this. This treat includes churros served with vanilla ice cream and warm caramel sauce.
Right.
Typical poutine has cheese curds and gravy. But what? This version obviously sounds a lot better. Here's a picture for you. That actually.
Oh, well, that looks delicious.
It's actually the most normal.
I think that name is deceptive.
Of everything. Yeah, it's just churros with an
ice cream
on
caramel.
Top. Some caramel, which you dip churros
Did
in.
Did you say
anyways.
Caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
Okay.
Who wants to go sit somewhere for 3.5 hours fighting off a diabetic coma?
Not me.
No, I mean, like, that's what I've never understood about, like, these giant sweets things. And even, like, the big, I mean, you're going to probably name, like, four other things, like these giant, you know, 10-pound corn dogs and stuff like that.
Don't bring diabetes into this because it makes you feel like less of a man because you can't finish off a poontang.
A food coma, period. Poontang. Like, what I'm saying is that anything like that, if I finish it in, like, the fourth inning, I'm going to spend the next 2 hours yawning a lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but which is better, spend the next 2 hours yawning or spend the next 2 hours, you know, having contractions in the bathroom, which some of these, like the taco
Wait
dog.
Wait until we get to the,
The taco dog in Miami, it looks like a taco because it's wrapped in what looks like a flour tortilla and a hot dog. No clue as to whether or not this is a sandwich. Exactly. The taco dog is a Nathan's Frankfurter, topped with chili, pepper jack cheese, pico de gallo, shredded cabbage, and jalapenos. Got to be honest, I'd give that a shot. It doesn't look that appetizing.
No, but
a
tortilla
actually,
with
no,
a
hold on a second. Let me
wiener
see that
dog
one.
In it.
I feel like it would taste.
That looks doable. See, yeah. All right, I could get down with that at a game.
It looks
you know
gross
why?
To me.
Because that is a one hand food, and that's what's
sure.
necessary.
Yeah, because you need another hand for
exactly.
your beer.
Or I mean anything, but yes, mostly beer.
What else are you putting in your hand?
Could just be a free hand. Might need to catch a ball. A scorecard.
Okay.
You might need to hold
your
phone.
Okay.
It stinks to have like two hands. You know. Sometimes.
The
yeah,
Boston
I was
Red
say
Sox.
There's probably times where it's... Okay, go ahead.
The Boston Red Sox are offering up lobster poutine. It
lobster
is fries covered with fresh lobster meat, cheese curds, bisque. What the hell is bisque?
Like lobster bisque. So
oh,
they take
okay.
like the... And those are those
and
are
chives.
Like the chunk... Chunky fries, like the steak fries, oh, too. They're not like the
man,
skinny fries.
That sounds good.
I
that
would
actually
have all
sounds
of
good
that
too.
Without the potato.
We've only gotten through three. We have seven more to go, and we'll get back to that when we have time throughout the show because there's some. Those are just the bottom three.
Right.
There are some pretty amazing foods on this list. When we get back, though, it's three for madness. John Elway using corporate letterhead, bless you, Katie, for some political stuff. We'll tell you about that. And where do you rank the Warriors and Thunder when it comes to rivalries? We'll do that in 5 minutes in The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Golden State Warriors, Oklahoma City Thunder. Is this the best rivalry in the NBA?
I was thinking about this last night. Now, they got in their big fight yesterday, and obviously the Durant thing and the playoffs. I'm going to say yeah with an honorable mention, and I feel like I'm forgetting one. Honorable mention maybe to the Celtics and Wizards, but it just doesn't seem like there's many rivalries going right now.
Yeah.
It probably is the best one in the NBA right now just because of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and all of that drama. But it's not a good rivalry. I mean, they got swept by Golden State by almost an average of 20 points a game. That's not a rivalry. That's crap. That's getting your butt kicked.
Right, none of those games lived up to the hype, but off the court, best rivalry far and away in terms of being able to build narratives. Russell Westbrook, in a league that is legendary for the pettiness of its star players, Russell Westbrook puts many of them to shame with his pettiness. That makes it worth it.
Well, and it's becoming the identity of the entire franchise and fan base now.
Yeah.
They're all freaking petty.
And I love it.
Are we pushing past, though? Shouldn't the biggest rivalry going be the Warriors and Cavs?
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you feel
on
like
court,
it's...
I think it is, but they only play each other twice.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's why the Lakers-Kings was a great one. But you go back years, Boston and the Lakers, they only played each other twice a year. But
I miss that.
They always met in the playoffs.
I miss that. I miss the Lakers and Celtics rivalries. I mean, obviously, Kings-Lakers for us was a fun rivalry.
Who was the big rivalry with the Bulls?
Bulls and Pistons, Bulls and Celtics for a second.
What about Utah? Was
Bulls,
that?
Not really. No, Bulls and Seattle, maybe. Bulls and Phoenix. No. Bulls and Pistons, really, that was a phenomenal rivalry when Jordan had to get past the bad boys and finally did. All right, moving on. Three for Madness, everybody.
John Elway endorses Supreme Court of the United States nominee on Bronco letterhead. Is this okay?
I'm so glad that you told me what SCOTUS means.
Yeah, because
I thought it was
to you, Matt.
I thought it was some kind of like a disease or something,
really?
Like that Gold Bond would need to be added to.
I came down with a case of SCOTUS with all those WNBA groupies. Yep. Matt, as you were reading that, I went, oh my God, I shouldn't have abbreviated that. That was a dirty trick on my part, which I didn't mean to do. And you came through.
It is 100% wrong. It is 100% wrong. You don't want sports and politics together, right? This is the big thing. Stick to sports. You don't want your athletes talking about it. And then your general manager endorses a Supreme Court nominee on letterhead from the franchise? He's lost his freaking mind.
I mean, maybe, but I can't, like, sit here and stand for Colin Kaepernick and then say that this isn't okay. What I do find troubling is that for all of the people that killed Colin Kaepernick for keep your politics out of my sports. I do this right. You're not going to hear from those people on this.
The difference is, you know, it's okay to beat your spouse, to do all these horrible things, commit murder, and you'll still support the NFL, but you won't support Colin Kaepernick protesting the American flag. Like, that's the problem here.
He wasn't even protesting the American flag.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. That's they made it about that.
Police brutality.
Exactly.
And I find it hard to believe that you're going to be hearing from those same people about this, telling John Elway to stick to sports.
From the 916, Katie, the disease you're referring to, you would call it SCROTUS.
Exactly.
That's a fine text. I don't like it at all. I have a huge problem with it. I don't care if John, and this is, forget who the Supreme Court nominee is and whether you're for or against that person. This is about the letterhead. I don't care if John Elway has a press conference and talks about how he went to school with the
Don't do it at Mile High Stadium.
Just don't do it on letterhead. I'm not a huge fan, honestly, of franchises, whether it's Denver or Sacramento. I'm not a huge fan of franchises stepping out
making a blanket statement.
I don't like
it represents all your employees.
Yes,
right?
It does. And in a weird way, kind of your fans. I'm not a fan of that at all. I understand moral responsibility. I understand moral absolutes. A Supreme Court justice is not a moral absolute. There's a lot of debate there, and I don't want John Elway using the freaking letterhead. And if I own the Broncos or if I'm a Bronco fan, I'm not happy about that at all. I don't like the precedent it sets.
Well, the only likable piece of the Golden State Warriors organization, Steve Kerr, has disputed the report that the Warriors were ticked off about KD's return to Oklahoma City. Do you believe him?
Nate?
No, not for a second. I mean, Steve Kerr's trying to play cool. Maybe it didn't bother him that much, but Kevin Durant's sensitive, and I think that all those guys on the Warriors are kind of sensitive. Yeah, a little bit. I think they're sensitive little fellas, and I think it hurt his feelings that he wasn't. I mean, I can kind of get where he's coming from. He gave the early part of his career and everything he had to Oklahoma City, and they show him nothing when he comes back. But I'm still Team Westbrook on this.
Here's Steve Kerr. And it was sources. Nate, I agree with you 100%. I don't buy it, but I think Steve Kerr is going to play the political role, and that's correct. By the way, my favorite part of last night's game is somebody came dressed up as a cupcake mascot and crutches. They were limping around.
That's horrible.
You got to see the video. They're on crutches limping around in a full cupcake mascot trashing Kevin Durant.
You know, I do believe him because I can concede that maybe somebody was upset about it. Maybe somebody from the organization, that someone being Kevin Durant, but yeah. I don't think that represents the Warriors. I don't think one person represents the Warriors being upset
letterhead.
About something.
Yeah. Well,
so I believe Steve Kerr in this situation.
Do you think it's possible, too, that like being upset about it, someone in the locker room heard somebody say something about it?
Exactly.
And like the mere fact that it was a topic of discussion. Yeah. Well, hey, guess what? And now you've got a story.
Yeah.
Jerry Reynolds upsets nobody because he is Sacramento's grandpa. He will join us next. We will talk Sacramento Kings and all things with Coach Jerry. That's next. 4 minutes away. Don't go away. Sports 1140 KHDK. Men, The Drive, Dave, Katie, and Nate, Jerry Reynolds in moments.
7:34, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
Yes, ma'am. All right, as we wait for Jerry Reynolds, again, want to thank loyal listener Daniel Blair. You can follow him. Give him a shout out here at DanielBlair125 on Twitter, who sent me this Arena Cross highlight this morning. And if you're wondering why we're playing Arena Cross highlights, that will become very clear here in a second. I mean, really? Mm. The national narrative has changed. Arena Cross announcers now ridiculing the Pelicans. When did that happen? I mean, that's just, he had it in his pocket. It actually sounds like a comedy movie.
It does.
And somebody's just doing a parody.
I'm telling you, this guy came into this event in New Orleans with that written on a cue card somewhere, like a little 3x5 card that he had just waiting for something to happen.
Thank you for being prepared, though.
I know.
What are you doing? What are you doing still?
Has DeMarcus heard that yet, you think, if you're to place bets?
I just happened that like late last night, and this was some dude that, a local cat that taped it. Yeah, he probably has. At 8 o'clock, half hour from now, we will unveil our 80s bracket ballad battle. Triple B, like Big Baller Brand.
Right.
Nate will unveil his top five ballads of all time.
Reveal something.
Maybe more excited about
that. Keep it in your pants.
And coming up at 8:30, a high school coach gets suspended for doing something with a hot dog bun that you really never, ever should do in public. Joining us right now.
Ever.
Maybe even in private. Joining us right now, your former coach of the Sacramento Kings, former player personnel director of the Sacramento Kings. I think he owned the team once. He was a general manager. I think he's done a stint as Slamson a couple years
ago.
He
won a title as a general manager of the Monarchs?
Hello.
Come on.
And he is the partner of one Grant Napier, and that's a tough job. I'll tell you what, doing the play-by-play on television for your Sacramento Kings. The one, the only, Jerry Reynolds. Hello, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Now, I think you left out the most important things in my career. I won two national championships in junior college and one in college division.
So I used
to be smart.
Well, and Jerry, we had this conversation actually on this last trip. Uh-huh. Coaching at that level was your favorite, right?
I loved it. You know, you could really have relationships with your players and you know, and you feel like you had a real impact on their lives. I mean, 17, 18, 19-year-old young people. And I taught some classes. So it was really a very satisfying thing. You know, didn't pay very well, but it was very, very satisfying.
Hey, Jerry, would you want to coach at that level today's day and age with the way players are now?
Well, I think it'd be different, no question. I think it'd be a little more difficult, although I think at the lower levels, I don't think it'd be nearly as different. Now, at the highest levels, and I think there were always some of those problems, not nearly what you see today with the one-and-dones and just a different, little mental adjustment kind of thing. So I would have no desire, even if I were younger, to coach at the highest levels, because I just don't think whether you're somewhat less of a coach and more of a manager. And, and of course, I think that also holds true in the NBA to a degree as well.
Coach, you have run a team before, and I think you're a perfect guy to answer this question. LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball's dad, back in the news once again, and this time it's a little bit different. His two sons play still at Chino Hills High School. They got beat in the semifinals, and he was talking about their coach, who's a first-year high school coach, saying, he's trying to have a little resistance towards me. I said, man, try to do it your way. That's why you lost three games. When you have any kind of resistance towards me and you're the head coach, it doesn't work out that well. I already knew he was going to lose that game. Now, we've talked before on the show, Jerry, about, hey, Lonzo Ball is insanely talented. Do you worry about his father if you're a GM? Would you if you were in that spot as a GM?
Well, I think you'd have to have – it's a concern, sure. I don't know that it would bother me any more than a particular agent. There's some agents that represent players that are just bad people.
Yeah.
And but at the end of the day is once they sign a contract, you don't really have to deal with them. And you can control a good bit of their access. Now, it's really more important getting to know the kid themselves or the player, because that's who is your employee, and that's what you always remind them of, is that, you know, you work for us. Your father's your father, or your agent works for you. And I think that has to be emphasized on a regular basis.
I think, Jerry, the interesting part of this, though, is because a week ago, Sam Amick kind of wrote about this and had talked to some general managers and some people in front offices in the NBA, and they said, you know what, once they get to this level, it's really not a big deal. But this just continues to grow. And whether or not the organization has to deal directly with LeVar Ball, he's going to have a camera in his face. And if his son's not playing and he goes, you know, we used the example earlier about what if he went to Boston and then he goes to the media and just rips Brad Stevens for not playing his son. You don't have to deal with him directly, but you do have to deal with him running his mouth about the decisions that the coaching staff and the organization are making. And that's problematic, right?
Oh, absolutely it is. And you have to be prepared for it. To realize that at some point you probably are going to have to deal with that. Or, you know, it's no different than, you know, maybe a wife.
A mother.
You know, I mean, there have been all kinds of situations. So, yeah, you'd be foolish to draft Lonzo Ball and not knowing that there are some issues that are going to take place, regardless of his talent and what kind of a kid he is or not. I mean, so you have to definitely be ready for it, and that you're going to have to deal with some issues there and deal them with as best you can. And the NBA, you always keep in mind that the NBA is a talent league. You know, certainly if you want to five wonderful little players that just love one another and their mommies and daddies won't be any problem. And then you can go 0-82 and see how much fun that is.
Jerry, you obviously, we just said it, you've coached at every level and been involved in basketball for, you know, a long time. I'm not going to say the number of years because I wouldn't do that to you. What is the worst situation that you've ever had to deal with? And you don't have to use names.
Well, I've had... Certainly in the NBA, I had one player that was just, you know, I couldn't be like Will Rogers and say I never met a man I didn't like, because I didn't like this guy. And I ended up finally just basically suspending him. It's like one of those deals that you either let me get rid of this guy or I'm gone. And I also remember in college a similar situation where a parent was just really a pain in the butt, and his kid was too, and he was actually one of my best players, but I finally just kicked him off and I said, we can win just as much without you, and we did. and you know, I always remember, kind of got into it, you know, with the kid, you know, and he was a real smart butt, and I always remember saying, well, you know, I really don't like you, and I don't like your girlfriend, I don't even like the car you drive. So let's just leave it at that.
Jerry Reynolds.
He went after his car, man.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a little over the top.
By the way, obviously,
gloves are off at that point.
All the players he was talking about there, Scott Pollard, all of them, all Scott Pollard, who will join us at 8:30, by the way.
No, Scott's one of the best. Scott's one of the best.
Coach, this time of year, if you're evaluating players coming into the draft, I mean, you've got a full season and in some cases multiple seasons worth of tape on some of these guys. So really, you're kind of just looking for the icing on the cake. But the answer seems to vary from person to person. This time of year in the tournament, what are you looking for when you're evaluating a guy if you already know most of the things you know about or need to know about him?
Well, I mean, I think you're always evaluating, and you still got a lot of evaluation to go with whatever information you get in the pre-draft camp, which is very little other than medical history and interviews and things of that nature. But I still think you're while you're watching them play, you really should be focused on what skills do they have that will translate to the NBA, because a guy can be a heck of a college player, just like he can be a heck of a high school player, not necessarily be it wouldn't translate necessarily particularly well to the college level. And so you know, to me, that's a real key. Does his game translate? Can he do, does what he do really well, does really well, will that work, in your opinion, at the NBA at the next level? And so you're looking at that. And I think probably the thing that's maybe undervalued a little bit and should be done more of it, we used to do a little more back in the day, is really find out information from people other than coaches and things like that. I always used to like to go on campus and talk to, you know, professors that have had a guy in class that wasn't, you know, related to athletics, or people who, you know, students who knew him, just regular kind of people. Just get the information that you could, and from opponents, find out, you know, the other side of the story, so to speak.
Coach Jerry Reynolds joining us on KHDK. And, Coach, in all your experience, I don't know if you know this, but we fans are excellent scouts of college players, and we get even better as the years go by as to whether or not we would have drafted this person or that person. What fascinates me about the complexity of scouting is when you're looking at something like the tournament and you see a Sean May, former Sacramento King, and player of the tournament for North Carolina. You see a guy like Shabazz Napier, and then you see a guy like Kemba Walker, all three guys that damn near single-handedly led their teams to titles, that were head and shoulders above anybody else in the tournament. But in two of those three cases, those two guys, I mean, bless them, they made the NBA, but weren't really impact players. I just wanted to push you a little further on that. How difficult is it to look at a Sean May or a Shabazz Napier and go, wow, they're amazing, but it's not going to translate to the NBA?
Yeah, well, it is difficult, and I mean, and sometimes you get caught up in the emotion, but you do have to realize that it is college, and you know, it doesn't. You can be really good in college and not necessarily be really good in the pros. Now, I mean, there's just hundreds of examples of that type of thing. You know, the Tyler Hansbrough, college player of the year. I mean, this goes on forever. And like I say, being good at one level, well, the size, the position they play, can they make the adjustments necessary? You know, and even the guy that has kind of made it, the Kemba Walker, well, his early first year or so, he really struggled because he couldn't shoot well enough. But to his credit, he's learned to shoot. And I always remember Mark Price working with him on a regular basis. Of course he was willing to work himself.
Yeah.
And that's always still the key. You can have all the best development people around, you know, and I think that's one of the more overrated statements ever is, you know, development guy. Well, you know, there's no such thing as a good player that hasn't been developed, and you can have bad development coaches, but if a guy's really good, he'll find a way to get developed. You know, I mean, I have a suspicion Michael Jordan would have turned out pretty good regardless. the extreme of it is people's. I was arguing with somebody the other day, and I said, "Well, if everybody could be developed, you'd have 150 Michael Jordans every year."
Very true.
And it just doesn't work. Same reason you don't have a bunch of guys that can make 40-foot putts on a regular basis. You know, I mean, practice is what it is, and talent's what it is. So I don't. I mean, I do think that the. The college thing, you just have to it's guess, and that's why everybody that's been in the league that's drafted for 10 years has made mistakes, and the very best of them have made mistakes, and sometimes you hit it right. I know the Kings for years drafted extremely well low in the draft, you know, getting the Hedo Turkoglus and Kevin Martins and Garcias and Gerald Wallaces. Those are all late picks, and they're terrific. And then you got some lottery picks that were total misses. So, you know, that's and that'll be the case this year. Everybody says, oh, it's a great draft. Yes, it is. I think it is. And I guarantee you that top 10 picks, there'll be two or three busts of guys that people right now saying can't miss, but they will.
Jerry Reynolds joining us on the drive this morning. And I want to follow up with the draft because that was kind of the direction I wanted to go. This is, they're saying it's the deepest draft in maybe the last 10 years, Jerry. But you watch more basketball than anybody I know. Who do you think is kind of ahead of everyone else in this draft class?
Well, I like Lonzo Ball. I mean, my personal feeling is it'd be tough for him to miss. He reminds me so much of a Jason Kidd. And, you know, just one of those guys that game should translate to the NBA. And Josh Jackson at Kansas, it'd be pretty hard for me to see him not being really good. I certainly don't follow it like I used to, but I think Jackson and Jason Tatum at Duke, it'd be very difficult to see how they couldn't be really good pros within a pretty short time frame. And like I say, I think it's a, you know, there's a lot more prospects out there that are going to be good and maybe better than some of those guys. But as will be the case every year, often the second, third pick that are supposed to be sure things, and there'll be guys taking 12, 13, 14, you know, the Kawhi Leonards, the Karl Malones, the Jeff Hornacek, the Isaiah Thomases, the Mark Gasols, you know, there are always those guys there. And that's why I always say it's not the number of the pick you get, it's the guy you pick. That's what's important.
Jerry, when you see a guy, and like Lonzo Ball the other night, he darn near turned in a triple-double, and it looked like he wasn't even trying. And I remember Damian Lillard kind of being the same way in college, where it just looks like they're not being challenged, and not in the sense that they're, you know, totally dominating the game, but it's like they can kind of cruise at two-thirds, three-quarters speed and still kind of put up these numbers. When you see a guy like that, does it alarm you, or do you think this is a dude that we need to get in an NBA uniform right away?
Well, I always say, you know, one of the reasons guys like that make the game look easy, you know why? It's because it is.
For them.
You know, I mean, when you see a guy flopping all over the floor and getting his 10 points that way, well, it's a hard game for him. And you kind of want those guys that make the game look easy, you know. It's kind of reminds me of the old Bear Bryant story. He's telling one of his assistants, he went out to see a kid, and he said, oh, yeah, he came back to old Bear, oh, yeah, this kid, man, he is tough, boy. They knock him down, he just gets right back up. And they keep knocking him down, he gets right back up. And Bear told the assistant, he said, won't you get me the guy that's knocking him down? And I think it's a little bit of that, you know.
Good point. Yeah.
Coach, last thing for you. You know, you are old school, yet you travel with this team. You're very in tune with today's NBA. I'd be real curious to hear you weigh in on the act of resting players.
Well, I think you can probably guess.
Yes, I
think it's one of the most disgusting things that's happened to our league. I really do. I think they're walking on dangerous waters because so many of the young players and sometimes their agents and people, they're too far removed. They have forgotten that the NBA until the 80s, early 80s, was on tape delay, in fact. And usually just shown a couple of times a week, and even the local broadcast were usually maybe 40 games a year instead of 82. So the reason the salary cap is what it is TV money. And for them to treat their partners like that, and the ratings are terrible, I think it's I don't know. I know Commissioner Silver says if they're going to deal with it, well, they better. And the Players Association themselves ought to be involved in this because they're. If I were running the Players Association, I would be really upset and saying, you guys need to look after your own interest and your own brands, and this is not serving it very well. And I understand the back-to-backs and all that, that's tough. But guys for years played back-to-backs, and they played 82 games a year, the Jordans and those guys and Magics. Will Chamberlain played every game and every minute of every game. And so I don't have any sympathy at all. And I And I think I realize they need rest if you're veteran players, but I'll tell you one thing. You give them days off at practice. They don't come in.
Right.
Don't come in. Stay home. Relax. But 82 times a year, if you can, you need to be ready to go. Their contracts are based on 80 seconds. If you're suspended for a game, you lose 1/82nd of your pay. So in my mind, you should be able to think in terms of, I've got 82 days to work. I'm an old coot, but I did TV 19 years. I haven't missed a day yet. And I mean, it's not the same thing.
Oh, yet. It is, Jerry. It's the exact same thing.
You
have worked through food poisoning.
A few days I didn't want to show up for various reasons. And I did two games with no front teeth once because my bridge broke. So.
Well, and beyond all that, Coach, too, I mean, you talk about, we started out the show talking about your amazing accomplishments also in college and way back, all that. You guys had to do back-to-backs, and you guys were on horses going from game to game.
Well, I always said, you know, I always remember as a small college coach, and we played Arkansas when they were with Moncrief and Brewer and Delph, and we played them pretty good, actually, and they were talking about, well, they just got in from a trip, and they suffered jet lag. And I said, well, we drove down in vans. I guess we had van lag. You know, it's just what it is. You know, I just think it's too much of a cop out with the players. And I mean, your fans have to be able to trust, you know, when they buy a ticket that short of injury, the players who are available to play will play. And I think that's just what it comes down to, you know. I mean, I just can't imagine paying a couple $100 for tickets and to see a player, and nothing's been, you know, he doesn't have an injury, and then him decide not to play that night. I think that would be terrible. I just know as a young person myself, just getting the chance to see Oscar Robertson in Cincinnati, you know, to drive over there, and if he decided to take that night off, I would have been crushed.
Yeah.
I would have just been crushed, and fortunately, he treated things a little different. He kind of felt an obligation to play.
Yes, sir.
Nobody better than Coach Jerry Reynolds. Always, we appreciate your time. You just got a few games left this year, and just keep at it. Keep taking them vitamins, and look forward to the summer.
Well, as long as Katie's there to work, I'm going to be right there.
We'll talk to you.
You know, I feel like I got to be there to spur her on. I want her to finish strong.
Why, thank you, Jerry.
You're the best.
Have a good morning.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, take care. That is Coach Jerry Reynolds. We're late for a break. 80s ballad brackets, Nate's top five ballads. He's still working
something
on it. When we get back on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.